Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I've kept your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Father, we pray for the grace of hunger for you and your word today. We pray for the gift of loving things eternal and true more than things that are temporary. So, Lord, we are in prayer now because we need you. Father, we ask that you would grace us with a greater anointing of intimacy with your presence, and that you would draw us closer to you through your word. We also pray, God, that you would allow every heart in this place to find its true home in you. God, our hearts are restless. Our hearts are wandering, longing for a home to rest in. Lord, may the search end as we surrender our hearts to you. And we do that even now. Father, I ask that you will use me, strengthen me, fill me with your spirit. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would preach through me today words of life, words of salvation, and words that will bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. And with that, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I did forget one thing. We do want to acknowledge our new members. We have about 20-plus new members who have taken that step to commit to OEM as their home church during their season in Korea. And so can I ask them to stand? Therefore, we just want to congratulate you and welcome you in that step of commitment and faith. Let's congratulate them for the step that they've taken. Thank you. And the next membership courses are going to be coming up as well, so you got to sign up for that. You know, it's been said that the condition of your Bible reveals the condition of your soul. And what they mean by that is basically a well-read Bible. So if you could tell that a Bible is well-used and well-read and even marked up and have all these great notes out of from all these years, it reveals a soul that's been connected to God, searching God, his heart's longing to hear from him. But a neglected Bible would reveal a neglected soul. Now, before you all get self-conscious about your brand new Bibles, Eddie, you know, I just bought this, that's why there's no writing on it, you know. Before you get too self-conscious about that, just a reminder that we live for the audience of one, okay? Don't live to please people, all right? But it is an important question that I think that we need to ask ourselves, that what is the condition of my soul before God? What is the condition of my Bible? But more than that, do I have a growing knowledge of God's Word? I think that is an important question to ask. The longer that you are a believer, there should be a growing knowledge and a growing love for the Word of God. If it is not so, we really need to examine that situation before the Lord. So, if we have neglected the Word and thereby neglected our souls, it may be time to remind ourselves the value and the treasure that God's Word really is. Now, it is important to strengthen our faith by the hearing of God's Word. But also it is important to strengthen our faith by hearing the worth of God's Word regularly. And that's what we want to do today. And that's what we like to do at the beginning of each year. We like to begin each year with reminders of key essentials of our faith, disciplines or foundations of our faith, so that we can begin the year appropriately. And so we started this year with a new series called First Things First. And with this year being the year of kingdom priorities, we want to highlight these areas where these things are things that are priorities within God's kingdom and for God's people. So I would invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 119. We're going to be looking at verses 9 to 16 as we look at the treasure of God's Word. Now, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and the topic of all 176 verses is on the theme of the Bible. Now, in Hebrew, the original language that the Old Testament, majority of it, was written in, is a poetic form divided into 22 sections. Within each section, it is based on a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So each section has 8 lines, and each section, for example, the first section would be the Aleph, or the A letter of their alphabet, right? And so each verse also begins with an A letter within the original language. Okay, so it's in a very systematized poetic form, intentionally to help people remember and memorize this chapter. So whenever you feel your affections for God and His Word dwindling, Psalm 119 is a great chapter to read through. I've done this throughout my Christian life. Is when I start to feel the love and the passion for God's Word beginning to weaken, I love meditating on this chapter again. And the love and the passion with which this writer speaks of the Word of God often infuses a new flame to burn a little bit brighter in my own heart as well. So we want to explore this passage today and see how God's Word truly is a treasure far greater than gold. Follow along with me in your outlines today, and we want to examine the beauty, the value, and the treasure of God's Word. Now, the first thing that we see in this portion of Scripture is we learn that the Word is our guard. So everyone repeat, the Word is our guard. All right, so the Word of God will guard us and protect us. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 9. Let's read it together. Ready, begin. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. So, how does a young person keep his or her life pure? It says, by guarding it, by protecting it through the Word of God. The Word is our guard. Now, why does the writer begin with speaking of a young person? Right? Is there something wrong with us older people? Right? No, it is because the habits that we form when we are young, they will often form us in our older years and often shape us and stay with us in that way. Positive example. My parents, they taught me and my sister when we were growing up a little bit, to pray before we eat. So anytime before you eat, whether you're at home, outside, whatever, pray before you. Now that's a good habit that my parents taught me since I was very young. To the point where if all of a sudden people, if I'm with people, they may not be believers, or for me, it'd be very weird for me to not pray before I eat. But that's a good weird feeling to have. Right? You should feel weird, right? Because we want to do a few things. Number one, why do we want to pray before we eat? Number one, to follow the example of Jesus. Right? Jesus prayed before he ate. Also, number two, we want to give God thanks as the provider, the ultimate good father provider of all our food, right? And third, we also pray because we want to bless the food that we're about to eat to our bodies. So there's benefits and blessings for all that we are doing. So that's a good habit that I learned when I was young that stays with me today. It's not about being legalistic. We all have good habits and bad habits. And those habits are formed through routine and regular discipline. So it's not about being legalistic. It's about desiring to form good and godly habits. Amen? So that's an important principle to understand. And we need to remember that our walk with God when we are young is vital for the trajectory of the remainder of our lives. Now, you know, I don't have a dramatic testimony, right? So I've never had a major rebellious period. I was never in a gang. I never had tattoos. I never killed anybody. I know you guys are in shock right now, okay? I know you're surprised by that. But I didn't have these dramatic testimonies that, yeah, you know, I was doing these drugs with these gangbangers, and then after we killed this guy, I spent 5 years in jail, and then I met Jesus, and then, you know. It had to be, you know. Well, actually, no. I never had those kind of testimonies, but I remember when I was in youth group and we'd go to these camps with all these other churches and stuff, and there would be those kind of crazy testimonies, you know? So there would be a guy who comes up, you know, he's got like, you know, tattoos everywhere, and he's like, yeah, you know, when I was your age, man, oh my goodness, I wasn't in school, I was in jail. And, you know, it's like done all this stuff, and me and my friends are like, wow. And what's funny is when we break up after the session, my friends would be talking like, man, I wish I had that testimony. I didn't do drugs. And they're like complaining, you know. They're like complaining that they didn't go to jail. They're complaining that they didn't kill anybody, you know. It's a little bit weird, right? But the reason why they're like, I wish I had a dramatic, powerful testimony. The buddies that I grew up with, we all grew up in the same church, so we all had the same testimony. And so, our testimony's so boring, you know. We went to church. And then we went to a retreat, and then we met Jesus, you know. And so, you know, we'd be like kind of complaining. And so there's one time that we got a chance to actually talk to one of the guest speakers, and my friends, they were complaining, like, man, we wish we had your testimony. Ours is so boring. We went to church, you know. We went to a retreat, you know, we got saved. And the guy responded in a way that really blessed us and blew us away. And what I noticed is when we share our boring testimonies, right, with people who had crazy testimonies, they will often reply that they wish they had our testimony. Because the comment that they will always say is, you guys don't have boring testimonies. That is a blessing, because what it shows is that our God protected you from a lot of pain and regrets that they still wrestle with at times. And so that was an important lesson for us to learn. You see, your testimony is not boring. It reflects our God who extended grace by protecting you. It reflects a God who honored your parents for raising you up in a certain way, but also honored a young life who desired to walk in the path of God's word. So if you have a crazy testimony, praise God that he rescued you. But if you have a boring testimony, praise God that he protected you. Amen? Very important to give God thanks in all circumstances of our lives. So how do the young stay protected in this immoral world? By living according to his word. Look at verse 10 and 11. Let's read verse 10 and 11 together. Ready, begin? With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So now he gives some practical advice. How do we let the word protect us? By storing up his word in our hearts. Meaning, do you know the word of God enough to be able to access it when you need it? That's how you determine if you've really stored it up. So are you familiar enough with the truths of God, the promises of God, the comforting words of God, to the point where you can access it when you need it? Now, the best way, obviously, is through memorizing. But obviously, if it's not, at least to know, all right, isn't there, you know, a verse in Romans chapter 8 somewhere that talks about the sovereignty of God in all circumstances? You have some sort of working knowledge of the Word of God so that you can access key principles and the power of God's Word when you need it. You see, Ephesians tells us that the Word is our weapon. It is the sword of the Spirit. So a lot of us, we have many Bibles in our homes, right? We have many Bibles in our bookshelves. But if the Word of God is in our home, but not in our minds and our hearts, then that weapon has lost all power that it was meant to have within our lives. You see, we are in a war. And if we are in a war, for a lot of us, we're like, all right, you know, hey, Eddie, I have my Bible at home. I could just open up and find, there's a concordance in the back, you know, or I could try to find where it was. No problem. But where does the attack of the spiritual warfare usually happen? It usually happens when you are not next to your Bible. And for us, it's kind of like, if we are in a war, wow, right? So it's like traumatic effect there. So if we are in a war, right? It's nice to have sound effects during a sermon. We'll try that in the future sometime. If we are in a war, and you have been given a gun, but for a lot of us, instead of filling that gun with bullets, we have kept it in its nice package, in its nice bubble wrap. But the thing is, there are bullets flying. And for some of us, once the bullets fly, then we unwrap it and we're trying to find the instructions because we do not even know how to fill our gun with bullets. We are in a war, we have a gun, but we have no bullets. We need to allow the Word of God to enter and live in our lives in such a way that we are familiar with it enough to be able to access it, utilize it, but also in the face of temptation and warfare, we use the Word of God as our weapon. Amen? That is crucial for us to grow in this way. The more we become familiar with God's Word by meditating on it and memorizing it, the more we can defend ourselves with it. Therefore, the meditation and the memorization of the Word of God is crucial. Verses, yes, memorize verses. Chapters, yes, memorize chapters. And for some of us, I want to challenge some of us here to memorize books of the Bible. Now, maybe not start with Genesis, okay? That might be a hard one. But I don't know, maybe with Jude, okay? Jude's pretty, okay. But something like Ephesians or Philippians or something that's more manageable, I want to challenge you to begin memorizing larger chunks of Scripture. Now, some of you might go, oh my, that is crazy, all right? I have such a bad memory. You know, take it a word at a time, take it a verse at a time, and do it for the rest of your life. You might be like, Eddie, there's no way, you don't know my memory. But you know what? So challenge yourself. Okay, book of Philippians. I'm going to start memorizing just word by a few words a week, a few words a day, whatever it is, and just chug through it for the rest of your life. Right? That might be it. But what an accomplishment it can be that at the end of your life, you would be able to recite the letter of Philippians to your grandchildren. Amen? So I want to challenge you with that. This is the thing that really challenged me. When I was younger, somebody once shared this question with our group and it really stayed with me. He said, what if someone threw you into prison and, you know, either you're because of persecution or something, you know, they found out you're a Christian, they throw you into jail and they do not give you access to a Bible. Do you have some sort of retention, some sort of memory of the Word of God to some extent where the moment you get thrown into the prison, you could start writing out verses that you memorize, writing out chapters that you memorize, writing out books that you memorize so that you will always have a portion of Scripture that you can study and meditate on in that place of isolation? And that really stayed with me. That challenged me. And in a similar parallel way, I would think like that whenever I would fly. You know, I do a lot of traveling, and for some reason, whenever I fly, I think a lot of us do that, right? Whenever we fly, we're always thinking, what if this crashes, right? And I think like that. But instead of dying, I'm always thinking, what if I get stranded on an island? You know, I for some reason, I always think about that. And so I'm thinking, it's like, how do I protect my books, my Bible, my, you know, what am I going to protect, you know, all stuff like that. But I'm always thinking, okay, what if I really am stranded on an island, right? And then the next thought that I have is, what verses, what chapters, what books of the Bible can I start writing down right away in the same way so that when I'm tired, when I'm weary, I will have my own version of the Word of God with me at all times. You know, it's, If you've watched reality TV shows like The Survivor, these people do that. They prepare for that environment. They know that they're going to be stranded on an island for a period of time, and what do? Because after years of these TV shows being on now, the newer ones, they're ready in a much better way, right? They study how to, they know how to make fire out of, like, hair, you know? They know how to, you know, climb up trees, you know, like a monkey, and, you know, they prepare for it. They're like, this is survival. I need to know these basics. But if we knew we were going to be stranded on an island, another thing that we need to know is the Word of God. Jesus tells us, you do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amen? So it's important for us to do this. Hide God's Word in your heart. Begin collecting verses. Because we've collected, you know, when you were young, you collect a lot of stuff, right? I collected comics and baseball cards. Some of them I still have. Some of them are valuable. Other people collect stamps. Some people, as they get older, their collections get more extravagant. Some people, I know, they collect antique cars, okay? Like, well, okay, I'll just stop there, okay? So they collect a lot of stuff. But the most valuable thing in the world that you could ever collect in your lifetime would be the Word of God in your heart. Amen. So let's do that. For there is a protective power in God's word that purifies the soul. John 15:3, you are already clean, Jesus says, because of the word which I have spoken to you. John 17:17, sanctify them with truth. Your word is truth. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, wash her, having cleansed her by the washing of water through the word. There is a protective, purifying power that comes from the word of God. And hearing the faithful word of God preached and proclaimed over your life on a regular basis has a purifying effect over your soul. That is why, parents and teachers, we must train up our children to memorize the word of God. Wash them with the word. Now, if you guys aren't aware, children, from the time that they're young till about 5 years old, they have incredible memories to be able to learn multiple languages fluently. Right, so if they are surrounded on a regular basis, immersed in a certain environment where they hear multiple languages used on a regular basis, they could learn almost an infinite number of languages fluently until they reach a certain age. And we need to harness that gift that God has given to young children and give them the word of God to memorize. Amen? In the Western church, we have watered down children's ministry into just being entertainment. Now, we should be creative about how we share the word of God, how they learn the God. We should be creative because they are creative little boxes waiting to be unleashed, children are. So we should not bore them with the word of God. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is instead of just having them make cutout puppets and color things, which is fine, during that age range when they have great memories, feed them the challenge and the joy and the value of the Word of God. Right? Because when a generation ago, when I was young, we always had like memory verse contests. We would have to memorize chapters of the Bible. We did all these things and we won. I mean, kids can do that. But now all we do is show them cartoons. All we do is color this, watch this, right? Because we can't memorize it, they won't be able to memorize it. But challenge them. Understand that God has given them a gracious gift during that time period with a great memory. Amen? So let's do that for the next generation. You know, and I also realized the value of knowing the Word of God so that I could speak it at any time. And I've learned this with my time with Enoch. There are times when he will wake up at like 1, 2, 3, 4 a.m. And my wife, amazingly, she will take care of him most of the time. But there are times where I'll take care of him. And in the middle of the night, because we're trying to put him back to sleep, in that night time, I speak scripture over him. I'll just start reciting these verses, these chapters, whatever that I know. I just speak it over him because I know that it will have a purifying, protective, washing effect over his life. Now, if I didn't memorize any, that'd be hard to do, right? It's nighttime, it's dark, I'm here carrying him, and then all of a sudden I have a flashlight trying to carry my Bible. All right, okay, Enoch, you know, it doesn't work that way. It is when you have hidden God's word in your heart and you know it from your heart that you will be able to use it at any time. Psalm 119:37 says, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Now, that's a very interesting connection. How does that connect? It says, turn my eyes. Everyone say eyes. Okay, so if you're looking at verse 37, underline the word eyes there, okay? So he says, turn my eyes, this is a prayer that he's praying, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. And then he says, give me life. Everyone say life. Now underline life. Now what's the connection? Why does he say, turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things and then give me life in your ways? What's the connection? This is a powerful prayer that we need to pray into our lives. Now, why does he make this connection? Because what we look at, what we focus on with our eyes, determines the direction and the devotion of our lives. So if you're constantly looking, for example, video games, playing with it, watching it. That's the thing that your eye is constantly consumed by. That's what you're going to be thinking about. That's what you're spending money on. That's what you're planning your days around. What you devote your eyes and heart's attention to determines the direction of your life. And so he is praying, God, give me wisdom. Open my eyes so that I will see the true worth and value of things eternal, so that I'll not waste my eyes on things temporary and not lasting. And let me focus on you. Amen. That is the prayer that we need to pray. God, don't let me waste my life, but invest it for the kingdom of God. In Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Why? Because God's word will guard you. Another blessing that we see in this passage is that not only is God's word our guard, but also the word of God is our guide. So everyone repeat, the word is our guide. Let's read verse 12 and 13 together. Ready, begin? Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. So the psalmist is again praying. Again, this is important for that we keep praying and reading scripture together. So the psalmist asks God, teach me your statutes. So guide me, right? Ask the Lord for a holy hunger, a desire for more of him, a greater desire for his word. Then in verse 13, he says, with my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. Now, why does he say that? With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. One of the best ways to learn something is to talk about it, to discuss it, and to teach it with others. And one of the best places to experience that, where is that blessing? Where you get to talk about scripture, discuss it, teach it to others, it's in the context of small groups. Right? So as you discuss the word of God, as you teach the word of God, your life will deeply learn the word of God. And that's why we stress small groups so much in this ministry, because we understand the value of it, not just for community, that is crucial as well, but in the context of community, to be able to hear other people discuss scripture, for you to input of what you're learning, it will sharpen your faith and deepen it. And for some of you, you've been a Christian for a long time. If you've been a part of this ministry for over a few years, then you have also heard a lot of scripture. You are ready, if you have never done so, to take a step of faith to lead a small group. I want to ask you to prayerfully consider that step of faith. And to take that step to go beyond your comfort zone and to be a shepherd in your heart and your prayers to lead others into God's word. So lead a small group, join our children's ministry, join our 937 youth ministry. Find an avenue for you to begin preparing something to teach, because that's one of the best ways to learn as well. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So the word is our guide. The word will teach us and guide us into truth. And the more you know the word, memorize the word and live it, the more effective you will be in counseling people. If you're the type of person that people come to you for counseling, you might have a gift of listening, you have a responsibility to grow in the word of God so that the advice that you give is biblical godly advice, not Oprah. You know, I used to be a youth pastor, and one of the frustrations that I would have is, a lot of my youth group kids, they would get excited about hearing the sermon on Sunday. They would be excited about small group time. But during the weekday, you know, they didn't engage with the word a lot. And so when they would talk to each other, I'm having a hard time at school, the advice that they would give that I would overhear them giving to each other, it would make me cringe. You know, one of the most popular in my youth group at one time was the advice, just follow your hearts. Aw, that sounds so nice, doesn't it? Just follow your heart. Yes. Such wisdom. But if you knew the word of God, you would know that it is the heart that is so deceptive. That in our hearts there's so much warfare going on, that the desires of the flesh and the desires of the spirit wage war against each other in the place of our hearts. And so instead of telling people the philosophy of the world, follow your heart. We hide God's word in our heart, so what overflows from the heart is the word of God. That is loving your neighbor with good counsel. Amen? Also, the more you know the word of God, become familiar with it, memorize it, live it out, the more effective you will be also in developing your prayer life. We talked about this last week, that we let the word of God become our teacher in our prayers. And so, you know, last year I challenged myself, I don't know how long it'll take, but I'm in the middle of memorizing the book of Ephesians. And the whole reason why that started is because in the beginning of Ephesians, there are certain prayers that I just wanted to memorize. That was the only reason behind why this started. So I started memorizing Ephesians chapter 1, and I wanted to get to the prayers so that I could memorize more prayers of the Bible. But after I finished chapter 1, I was like, why should I just stop there? I decided I'll start with chapter 2, start going on from there. And I realized that as I started doing that, when I start praying, you know, for myself or for others, these prayers will become more naturally overflowing, and that will be more penetrating into the life because it is the word of God that we are praying. And so I want to challenge you to do that. Also, knowing more of the word will help us discern prophecy. Scripture tells us to test all prophecy. You cannot test it with Scripture if you do not know Scripture, but also will help us discern false teaching. As we get closer to the end times, again, we are close, right? We are approaching the day. Every day that you wake up is another day closer to the end. And as we get closer to the end, it is clear that there will be more and more false teachers. And you need to be able to discern false teaching. Even with my sermons, you need to test and make sure that whoever preaches from the pulpit that you are listening under, you need to know the word of God so that you can discern whenever there is something off about it. Even for myself. Amen? I don't know, should I preach like something false in the future just to test you? No. That was the best sermon I ever... No. Okay, no. But above all else, getting familiar with the Word of God will help you be more effective in discerning the will of God for your life. Because the will of God will always be overflowing from the Word of God. And another important piece of growing in the guidance of God's word is in our times of suffering. Look at Psalm 119, verse 71. It says, "It is good for me that I was afflicted." Why? "So that I might learn your statutes." It was in his days of suffering and pain that he turned to the word of God and got guidance to the presence and heart of God and found comforts. In suffering, we learn the comforting power of God's word. God will guide us in our days of pain through Scripture to find comfort and his embrace. You know, I grew up with asthma, and I hated it. Oh, my goodness, man. It put me in the hospital, in the emergency room so many times, because, again, I had a pretty severe case of asthma, and... you know, because after gym or after running around outside or especially during spring and fall, you know, I'd get an asthma attack, I'd be hospitalized, all these things. But also because of my asthma, it kept me at home for many days. I didn't mind that part, okay? I had to miss a lot of days of school when I was in elementary school because of my asthma. But the thing is, I remember still lying down in bed, not being able to breathe well, and really wondering, there were some days that I would wonder, am I going to die? You know, because it's like, obviously breathing is kind of important, you know, for living. And I was struggling for every breath, waiting for the medicine to kick in. But one of the things that it taught me to do, because I would have my bed next to the wall and also next to my desk, and next to my desk would always be my Bible. And I started reading the Bible while I was lying down, and I started learning how God guides us to his heart of comforts in our days of sickness and suffering. One of the verses especially that comforted me so much was Matthew 11, 28, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And these words of Jesus started penetrating my heart even when I was sick, and I started to learn how the Word of God comforts in days of pain. And that's an important lesson to learn. that when you are in pain, when you are suffering, turn to the Word of God and find comforts for your soul. Amen. So the Word of God is our guard. It will protect us. It is our guide. It will lead us. And thirdly, the Word is our gladness. So everyone repeat, the Word is our gladness. Meaning the Word of God is our source of joy. Psalm 119, verse 14, in the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. How is it that the psalmist finds great delight in God's testimonies as in all the money, all the treasures, all the riches in the world? It is because he understands that there is a treasure to be gained in Scripture that is far greater than gold. In the Bible, we have the living, active, and actual words of God in our hands. That is amazing. Verse 15 and 16, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Now look at this language. This is the language of love, right? It says, I will meditate on your precepts. I will fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. This is the language of someone who is mesmerized and in love with another person. Because we all know there are different ways that we read different types of words, right? So if you're reading a textbook, you do not read it the same way as if you're reading a spam letter, email letter, or a letter from somebody that you like, right? There's a difference. For example, let's say someone you like wrote a letter and gave it to you. You will meditate and delight in those words. Dearest Jenny. He did not write dear Jenny. He said dearest. That's a superlative. I'm his dear. Oh my goodness. Right? Dearest Jenny, you look great in that red dress. Oh my goodness, he liked my red dress. I'm going to wear it every day. No, if I wear it every day, it's going to be gross. Right? No. But I have to wear it again because he likes it. He noticed it. And also, I really liked your haircut. He noticed I got a haircut? No guys notice haircuts. Oh my goodness. Right? That is called meditation and delight on every word. Okay? We value every word because we think there is love behind every word. And in the Bible, there is love behind every word. The Bible is a love letter that was written to you so that you might know the heart of God for you. Amen. See, when you see Scripture as a love letter, then you can understand Psalm 119 much better. Psalm 119, verse 111 says, your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. But we cannot do this in our own power. We need the grace and the mercy of Christ in our lives. So we trust in him, we pray to him, and we depend upon him, and we ask him, change my desires, open my eyes, increase my affection so that they are not satisfied with such temporary things, but things that are worth far more. C.S. Lewis once said this, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday by the sea. We are far too easily pleased. You see, we are satisfied with the junk food, the McDonald's Happy Meals, when God is preparing a banquet feast for us. The problem is not the insufficiency of Scripture. The problem is the insufficiency of our desires. We are far too easily pleased. We fill up our stomachs with the cotton candy of this world when there is filet mignon awaiting. So we learn to pray. Psalm 119, 18. Open my eyes, God, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. So we come humbly before the Lord, before his word in prayer, and pray, God, open my eyes so that I can see the wonderful things that is found in your law. I pray this all the time as I read scripture. Because I know if not for the grace of God that opens our eyes, I will not see the beauty of God's word. So we pray this. You know, there's three important ways that we need to read scripture that I want to teach you if you're not aware of this. So there are three key ways that we need to grow in our reading of scripture. The first way is to read broadly. So everyone say, read broadly. What I mean by that is to read chapters at a time. Read through chapters at one sitting. We need that exercise and discipline in our lives. And for some of us, if you've never done so, read through a whole book of the Bible, right? Not just Jude, okay? But read through the whole books of the Bible. So you get a broad perspective on the Word of God. Right? So it's important for us to read broadly, to know the whole redemptive story of Scripture. All right? But also, secondly, we need to read thoughtfully. So everyone say, read thoughtfully. Meaning take like a paragraph or a chapter and dissect it in study, right? So study. This is what you would normally do in small groups, right? So study a portion, paragraph, section, and just dissect it. Read thoughtfully. So read broadly, know the whole what the whole book is about, and then take a portion of that chapter or a portion of that paragraph and dissect it. Read it thoughtfully. Third way that we need to develop our reading of Scripture is to read deeply. So everyone say, read deeply. Meaning, let it sink into your heart and your mind by meditation and going deeper through memorization. All right, so we need to read broadly, read a lot of texts, read thoughtfully, dissect and study a portion, and read deeply, go deep in it by letting that word, that verse, that chapter, whatever, memorize it and be digested into your soul. Now, where can you experience all three of these? There is a place, and that is called Living Life. I know it's going to sound like a commercial and stuff, but I'm not just plugging this because I'm the editor-in-chief, okay? It may sound like that, but I do have to give you a little bit of context on why I'm sharing this. As the editor-in-chief, we're always looking for ways to compare our devotional with other devotionals, and we want to improve. And so we're always looking and comparing and stuff like that. Now, I've been doing this for a little over 4 years now. And so you guys are familiar with, like, for example, like Daily Bread, which is fine. A lot of us grew up with that, but really it's, it's one verse and a story, right? That's really what it is, right? And there are a lot of other things that we looked at, but there is no other comprehensive devotional tool quite like Living Life. If you've never seen one, I want to show you through the photo. I think there's a photo here, so if we could draw our attention there. Now, first of all, we said we need to learn to read broadly. All right, so every day, we divided up and gave you the McShane Bible reading plan on the left-hand column, so that at the end of 1 year, you will have read through the whole Old Testament once and the whole New Testament and Psalms twice. Okay, so you get that element. So if you try this, for 1 year, you will have done this. Read through the Bible in that way. Also, you want to read thoughtfully. So you want to dissect one section, right, and tear it apart. So that's what that is in the main section, the Tower and the Cross of Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 and 9. Right, so that's that section. But also you want to read deeply. There is a weekly memory verse that we provide also on the left-hand column so that you're engaging the Word of God on all levels that you need to be doing, broadly, thoughtfully, deeply. All right? Also, what we provide at the end of each devotional is a memory verse insert. Okay, and that's also provided for you as well, so you get a quick look at that. So you can keep it in your wallet, keep it in your purse, keep it in your car, whatever, wherever you do. So you get a chance to do that. Not just that, but we also provide opportunities for you to have Bible studies. So if you wanted to use it, and a lot of people have used it for small group Bible studies, we have Bible study questions at the end, so you don't have to think of your own Bible study questions. That's another element. And every week, For the Sundays, we also provide a family devotional section. So if you want to develop doing family devotions, quiet times within your marriage or families, we provided something that could guide you as well. So again, we have articles and prayer guides, fasting guides. There's a day designated for prayer and fasting and stuff like that. Again, it's not to boast. I want to offer you something that very practical to help you grow in the Word and in prayer. And honestly, living life, there is nothing even close as to this type of resource to help you in your devotional life. Now, it has this kind of quality. Now, I really want to challenge you to try it for 1 year, to utilize every element of it, the Bible reading plan, the study, the memory verse, all that. Try it for 1 year, okay? If your love, knowledge, desire for the Word of God does not increase, we'll give you your money back. No, okay. Let me know, and we will pray over you, okay? Because that tells me something's wrong. No, okay. But again, as a practical thing, we did provide this for you as well. So if you want to give it a try, there's a subscription thing, because I think it's going to be a little bit cheaper if you try it that way. You could fill it out, give it to one of the ushers at the end of the service, something like that. Again, it's not, again, about promo as much as really thinking of practical tools that can help you grow in the Word. Amen? I'll share with you the story. You know, I heard the story recently about a man in Kansas City. He was severely injured in a factory explosion at work. It was so bad that the victim's face was badly disfigured, and also he lost both hands through this explosion, but also he lost eyesight, both of his eyes as well. He was a new Christian, and one of his greatest disappointments out of the accident was his inability to read the Bible anymore. He was really saddened by that. But somebody told him that they heard about this lady in England who learned to read the Bible in Braille with her lips. And so he got really excited. He's like, okay, you know, I want to keep reading the Word of God. And so he ordered all of these like Braille Bibles. And so when they came, you know, he taught himself how to, he learned how to read Braille with his lips. And then the day came where the Bibles came. He's so excited. He could not wait to read. But then when he put his lips to the thing, he realized his lips also lost nerve sensitivity. And so he could not read Braille or the Bible through his lips. And so he was devastated again. It's like, my goodness, I cannot read the Bible anymore. And so he would pray, say, God, somehow, some way, can you make some sort of sensation calm? And he would start crying because he wanted so much to still read the Word of God. And he had no sense in his lips. And one day, as he was just trying to feel something through his lips, he was crying. And as he was crying, he just licked his tear with his tongue. And when he brushed his lip with his tongue, he also brushed the page. And he realized he still had sense in his tongue. And so from that day forward, he committed himself to learning Braille so that he could read the Bible in Braille with his tongue. And within a couple short years, he read through the Bible with his tongue in Braille more than 4 times. I was so blessed by that story, obviously for so many levels. On so many levels, that story is a blessing. But on the deepest level, I saw an uncontrollable hunger for God's Word. A lot of us, we would find that as an excuse. All right, so hey, that's why I don't read the Bible anymore. But he had such a hunger for it. Oh, for that kind of love and longing for God's Word. Amen. So let's pray for it, let's plead for it, and let's read it until that gracious gift of passion and hunger for God's Word begins to grow. Let's pray. Can we pray right now and ask the Lord to give us this kind of hunger? Ask the Lord, God, open my eyes so that I can see the beauty and the joy and the delight of all that your Word is. But also, let's be real and let's be honest before the Lord as well. If we have neglected the Word of God for a year or longer, can we confess that to the Lord? Say, God, I have neglected food for my soul, but I need your grace so that I would be able to grow in my holy hunger again. Can we pray for that together and ask the Lord, God, open my eyes, increase my hunger. And God, give me from this day forward, give me the wisdom to understand that if I collect, cherish, and memorize your word, that is the most valuable thing I could ever collect in this world that I live in. So commit today. A verse a week. A chapter a month. I don't know. Say, God, I don't know what book I will memorize for the rest of my life, but let me commit to memorizing one short book of the Bible and keep at it until I memorize it so that I could recite it to my grandchildren so that they will see old grandma, old grandpa as one who loves your word and let that testimony impact their life. Can we just spend a moment right now and pray for that together? Ask for that. Increase of hunger, increase of knowledge, increase of devotion to God's word. Let's spend a few moments right now in prayer together. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your grace of giving us the incredible gift of your word in written form for us to read and study and look at and memorize. God, that is incredible. And Lord, would you open our eyes and expand our mind's capacity to understand wonder and to value things of true worth, things eternal. God, help us to stop collecting and cherishing such trivial and temporary stuff of earth, things that will turn to dust one day. God, teach us to value things eternal, like God, like your word, like souls of our neighbors. God, in this year of kingdom priorities, put these higher priorities in its proper place in our lives. God, I pray a blessing over all of your brothers and sisters here, that you would grace us with eyes to see. Every time we look at your word, eyes to see the beauty, the value, the wonder of your word. Open our hearts so that we would have softened, humble, hungry hearts for more of you and more of your word. I pray for the grace to be able to memorize more, to hide your word in our hearts, so that we would overflow in our conversations, in our counseling, in our advice, in our speaking to the next generation. Let it be an abundance of wisdom from your word. In our Sunday schools, in our youth group ministries, in our small group ministries, fill it with a love for your word. By the increase, Lord, let our knowledge of your word increase. But also your word tells us, God, that knowledge puffs up. So, Lord, it is love that builds up. Let us not just increase in knowledge. Let us increase in loving people deeply through your word. And now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than what we could ask for, even in the prayers that we prayed right now, do more than we asked for, God. More than we ask, more than we can think of, do more. According to the power that is at work within us. To him, God Almighty, be glory. in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations and throughout all the nations of this world. Forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And amen.